Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. In yesterday's show, we were looking at a response by Donny Osmond, the entertainer, the brother of Marie Osmond, and he was responding to a 13-year-old girl who was recently baptized in the Mormon Church who was very concerned about something that she read on what she called an anti-Mormon website. Some stuff they said was really confusing and scary, she said. They said stuff like Joseph Smith was tried for money digging and that 8 years after his first vision, when God told him to join no church, he joined the Methodist Church. I don't know if I want to be LDS anymore, she said. I haven't told anyone, not even the missionaries who taught me. I'm not sure what to do. I don't even feel like praying anymore. So Donnie responds to her, and basically he's responding, first of all, with some ad hominem by accusing whatever website this young lady was looking at, and we don't even know. But he says, what you read from this poor, misguided soul who encourages good people to not believe the truth by his outrageous, exaggerated, or totally false statements is a real tragedy.
And without knowing who actually said that or what the website was, to make those assumptions is going out on a limb on Donnie's part.
It could be, but let's give Donnie the benefit of the doubt here. Maybe he just didn't print the actual website. Maybe this young lady could have told him the website. We don't know. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt on that. But even so, you're right. Is that the way you respond? I mean, usually I try to stay away from ad hominem when I'm answering someone who has a sincere inquiry of me. Sometimes people ask my opinion of certain things, but I try to stay away from the ad hominem. I try to be as honest as I possibly can based on the information that I have at hand. But then Donnie is going to try and set the record straight, he says. And he talks about this idea that Joseph Smith was tried for money digging. And he says the truth is that as a young married man, he worked for a friend of his father-in-law who had purchased mining property in northwestern Pennsylvania.
And the father-in-law is Isaac Hale.
Yes. In fact, Isaac Hale was very upset with Joseph Smith and was very close to Joseph Smith. So you would think if anybody kind of knew the personality of Joseph Smith, it would have been Isaac Hale. And he actually had a statement published in a local newspaper expressing his views of Joseph Smith. And first of all, we should make it very clear that Donnie gets it wrong when he tries to give the impression that Joseph Smith was accused of money digging after he had a young family. That's not so. He didn't even marry Emma until 1827. He goes to work for Josiah Stoll in the fall of 1825. Now, that's important to know because, first of all, this is what Isaac Hale thought about Joseph Smith.
Smith, this is what it says. Smith and his father, with several other money diggers, boarded at my house while they were employed in digging for a mine that they supposed had been opened and worked by the Spaniards many years since. Young Smith gave the money diggers great encouragement at first, but when they had arrived in digging to near the place where he had stated an immense treasure would be found, he said the enchantment was so powerful that he could not see. They then became discouraged and soon after dispersed. This took place around the 17th of November, 1825, and one of the company gave me his note for $12.68 for his board, which is still unpaid.
Now notice that Isaac Hale is referring to Joseph Smith and the group that he worked with, that were working, I'm assuming, for Josiah Stoll in this context. He's already using the term money digger.
Mm-hmm.
He already had that term money digger before he marries his daughter, because in the third paragraph of that affidavit, what does he say?
After these occurrences, young Smith made several visits at my house and at length asked my consent to his marrying my daughter, Emma. This I refused and gave him my reasons for so doing, some of which were that he was a stranger and followed a business that I could not approve.
Now, are we to assume that Isaac Hale really had an aversion to a person who would work in a mine? See, I'm having a hard time with this. I don't think Isaac Hale saw that a person who works in a mine as a legitimate miner was somehow doing something that was unsavory at that time. But there's a lot of details that are left out in Joseph Smith's personal testimony that's found in The Pearl of Great Price. And it's that rock.
Yeah.
It's that rock, the seer stone, that's causing so much controversy now as it caused controversy for Isaac Hale back then. See, this is how he got the label as money digger. He would claim that he could find buried treasure with a seer stone that he found in 1822. He already has this seer stone in his possession.
And this is why he told Joseph Smith, "I don't like your business, sir."
That's the business he didn't like. I don't think that Isaac Hale had any problem whatsoever with legitimate mining. And that's the impression we are given here. And Donnie, unfortunately, has bought this story. He has not looked into the context or the background of what Joseph Smith's history is saying. He's buying what the church is trying to tell him.
And that's the point. He's accepting Joseph Smith at his word for what he said in Joseph Smith History Chapter 1 and not looking into the rest of the information.
Now, the big issue that bothered this young 13-year-old was the fact that Joseph Smith was tried for money digging. And that is also true. He was tried not as a miner, M-I-N-E-R. He was tried for money digging or glass looking. There was a trial in 1826. Now, the Tanners have done a very good job on this. If you were to have a copy of Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, Chapter 4 is Joseph Smith and Money Digging. And in that chapter, it gives an account taken from Fraser's Magazine in 1873. I want to read to you a portion that the Tanners have cited in this section of their book. This is State of New York versus Joseph Smith, and I'm going to read it as it is copied in Shadow or Reality. Warrant issued upon written complaint upon oath of Peter G. Bridgman, who informed that one Joseph Smith of Bainbridge was a disorderly person and an impostor. Prisoner brought before court, March 20th, 1826. That date is important. Notice, he's brought to court for the crime of glass looking or being disorderly, and this is in March of 1826. He's not going to be married until January 18th, 1827, so he's not doing this to support his family, as Donnie implies. That doesn't happen till later. It says that he came from the town of Palmyra and had been at the house of Josiah Stoll in Bainbridge most of time since, had small part of time been employed by said Stoll on his farm and going to school, that he had a certain stone, which he had occasionally looked at to determine where hidden treasures in the bowels of the earth were, that he professed to tell in this manner where gold mines were a distance underground, and had looked for Mr. Stoll several times, and had informed him where he could find these treasures, and Mr. Stoll had been engaged in digging for them, that at Palmyra he pretended to tell by looking at this stone where coined money was buried in Pennsylvania, and while at Palmyra had frequently ascertained in that way where lost property was of various kinds, that he had occasionally been in the habit of looking through this stone to find lost property for 3 years, but of late had pretty much given it up on account of its injuring his health, especially his eyes, making them sore, that he did not solicit business of this kind and had always rather declined having anything to do with this business. Now, the reason why Joseph Smith claims he stops with the mine business with Josiah Stoll is because they just weren't finding anything, and he kind of, it gives the impression he kind of talked him out of it and said, "Hey, there's nothing here." This actually said it was because his eyes were bothering him, probably from looking at a magic rock and a hat for so long. So we see a little bit more of the story here, and notice what's mentioned in this account. The fact that Joseph Smith had a stone, a seer stone, a peep stone, as they were known at that time. Now, this was in March of 1826. We have the records now. Wesley P. Walters, did find the Joseph Smith Bainbridge, New York court trial records, and it does show that Smith was, in fact, arrested for glass looking, and he was not sentenced, however. We do know that, but you have to understand that the reason why he probably was not sentenced is it's believed that he was allowed to, quote-unquote, escape or go home on his own recognizance because at the time he was still a minor. He was under the age of 21.
A minor, M-I-N-O-R.
Correct. Good correction there, Eric. And so that is why there is no sentencing. But it certainly looks from this court record that he was, in fact, charged for this. There was a trial for this. The Mormon Church, when this account in Fraser's Magazine was made public by Fawn McKay Brody in her book, No Man Knows My History, the Mormons actually rallied around this saying, that isn't even true, that doesn't even exist. Let me give you very quickly a point here. In the Deseret News, the church section of the Deseret News, the Tanners also cite it, saying, the alleged find is no discovery at all, for the purported record has been included in other books. After all her puffing and promise, the author produces no court record at all, though persistently calling it such. This alleged record is obviously spurious. The really vital things which a true record must contain are not there. Though there is a lot of surplus verbiage set out in an impossible order which the court was not required to keep, this record could not possibly have been made at the time as the case proceeded. It is patently a fabrication of unknown authorship and never in the court records at all. Now, this was in the Deseret News, church section, May 11th, 1946. It was also quoted in Francis Kirkham's book, A New Witness for Christ in America, Volume 2, pages 430 and 431. I want you to notice, folks, the church is denying that such a court record ever existed. The fact is, that court record was found, showing that Joseph Smith was on trial for being a glass looker, a money digger.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in downtown Salt Lake City to browse the largest inventory of Christian books on the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from the Smith Ballpark. Whether you're looking for a basic introduction or a more scholarly work, Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding the appropriate resources so you can better understand the LDS religion. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore also carries dozens of books that Sandra and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes their comprehensive work, Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. So, once again, if you have questions about the LDS faith, there is always somebody behind the desk who would be more than happy to assist you. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Saturdays from 1 to 5. Remember, when in Salt Lake City, be sure to come check out the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located right there at 1358 South and West Temple.